right, take God's word, please. Turn to the book of James, chapter 4. The book of James, chapter number 4. It's been good to be in God's house today. We appreciate who the Lord is. The Sunday school hour has been a great hour studying the names of God. The great name of Adonai. He's our master. He's our owner. Therefore, we should say, I will to the will of God and everything He tells us to do. We rejoice in Jesus Christ. After all, He's the only one to rejoice in anyway. We need to lift Him up high and holy. Praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for what He's done. Praise Him for what He's doing. Praise Him for what He's going to do. Praise Him for what He hasn't done, what He's not doing, what He's not going to do. I mean, thank God He's not going to turn His back on His children. Thank God He's not going to send any of His children to the lake of fire. Thank God His grace never runs out. And His blood never runs dry. And we appreciate Him this morning. That's why we're here. If you're here for any other reason than to please Jesus Christ, your motive is wrong. And may God help us to see Him for who He is. That'll correct the problems around our nation, around our world, is seeing the Lord like Isaiah saw Him, high and lifted up. And that's what we need to see, no doubt about it. James chapter 4, we've been studying through the book of James. Yes, sir, go ahead, Brother Tim. Amen. 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 You didn't know you was going to get two messages today, did you? That's outstanding. Help yourself. Amen. James chapter 4, we've been studying through the book of James. We've come to verse 13 of James chapter 4. And a message that God's dealing in my own heart about. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Powerful portion of scripture. And I want to preach to you this morning on this topic, practical atheism. practical atheism. Let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and what it means for us, and what it's doing for us even now. And I pray right now that if there's somebody under the sound of my voice who has come to church but never come to Christ, may today be the glorious day when they say yes to Jesus. And we who are saved, would you challenge our hearts from this passage of Scripture? We pray, defeat Satan, his evil spirits, do your will, I beg of you. Do what I cannot do, and that is preach, and that is speak to hearts. May you be our invited guest. May you work and move in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. In this world, there are those who are known as intellectual atheists. In other words, they are those people who don't believe in their mind that there's a God. Some of those intellectual atheists would include people like Charles Spencer, Charlie Chaplin. He was a British-born actor, director, and producer that lived in the 1880s all the way through 1977. And he says, and I quote, "By simple common sense, I don't believe in God, in none." We go on and we come across a man by the name of B.F. Skinner. He was an American psychologist in 1904 through 1990. In an interview with CBS Radio a few weeks before his death, he was asked if he feared death. Let's turn this off and turn on the this handheld right over here, please. That is number one. We're in business. All right. This B.F. Skinner was an American psychologist, and in an interview with CBS Radio a few weeks before his death, he was asked if he feared death. And he replied by saying this, "I don't believe in God, so I'm not afraid to die." We go on to a man by the name of Schopenhauer, who's a German philosopher. And he believed that there was no absolute, no reason, no God, no spirit at work in the world, and nothing but brute instinctive will to live. We go on and we come across one of the most best known atheists in American history by the name, it's a woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare. She's responsible for having prayer removed from the public school system. And she was told, and it's been reported that she said, "I do not believe that God exists." You may remember several years ago now when the first Russian cosmonauts went into space and they returned, and listen to what one of them said when he returned from his journey in the outer space. "Some people say there's a God out there, but in my travels around Earth all day long, I looked around and I didn't see him. I saw no God, no angels. I don't believe in God." And I respond to that by saying this, if he'd have stepped out of that spaceship for 5 seconds, he would have met God Almighty. And all I'm telling you is all these people, if you know, and if you notice with me, all these intellectual atheists, they put their faith in what they believe instead of what God has said. And God's word has a word for them in Psalm 53:1, "The fool has said in his heart that there is no God." Now, while I trust no one here is an intellectual atheist, there may be many who are guilty of practical atheism. See, a practicing atheist is someone who knows there's a God, but he lives as if he doesn't exist. Now, let's look at this text closely and bring out four things as we consider practical atheism. I'm talking about those who are gathered here, and if we were to ask you, "Do you believe there's a God?" you'd say, "Yes, I believe there's a God." But some of those same people are living their life as if God does not exist. That's what James 4:13 through 16 is talking about, and we see it here. Number one. The first thing we notice as we look at practical atheism, we notice the sinful action. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." Look at verse number 16. "But now you rejoice in your boastings.
All such rejoicing is evil. Now notice the attitude of certainty in which these statements are given. In other words, in these statements in verses 13, especially verse 13, there is a certainty here that they said, we will go into such a city. We will continue there a year. We will buy and sell and get gain. We will, we will, we will. And I'm telling you something, that is a sinful action, because that sinful action is practical atheism. In other words, living as if life depends on self instead of depending on the sovereignty and the will of Almighty God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:1, their works are in the hand of God. See, living with a total disregard of God's providence and a total disregard of God's plan over life is practical atheism. Stay with me here. Living as if times and works are in our hands with no thought of God and His sovereignty over our life. Having the attitude of I will instead of if the Lord will. Having the attitude of it's my life. I can do with it whatever I want to do with it. Living as if tomorrow is in our hand instead of God's hand. This is a total denial of God's word. Because in verse 14 it says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. See, living with no thought of the brevity of life and no dependence upon God is practical atheism. It's living as if God does not exist. In a nutshell, it's living as if you know there's a God, but in your actions, you're not proving it. See, they totally disregarded the fact that they were frail. They disregarded the fact that they were subject to death at any time. Therefore, they excluded from their minds the thought of the Lord's providence over them. Look here, please. If God says drop dead, it's over. Did you hear what I just said? Somebody says, I don't need God. Take a breath. Where'd that come from? Amen. And all I'm saying to you this morning, we need God. And whenever we go through life saying, I will do this, I will. And by the way, we're all guilty of this. You ever been guilty of thinking what you're going to do tomorrow? You ever been guilty of that? We all have. All of us. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to us, including me. That we need to understand that anytime we leave God out, that is practical atheism. That's what James is talking about. Promising themselves the continuance of their life. Notice verse 13 again. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year. He's saying, some of you all are saying, you're going to go in that city and you will be there for a year. And God says in verse 14, you don't even know what you're, listen, your life is so short, it's like a vapor. You're not even promised tomorrow. You see the sinful action? The sinful action is disregarding God that they're going to accomplish their designs and the success of their labors without respect to God's providence, without respect to God's direction, as if their times and their works were in their own hands, not in His. Look here, please. Our time is in God's hands, not our hands. Now, that's the truth. And that's why it's so important that you and I need to live every day of our life as if it's our last day, because it could be. It could be. That's in the Lord's hands. And by the way, thank God it's in His hands. It's not in the Muslim's hands. It's not in the devil's hands. It's not in sickness' hands. It's in the Lord's hands. He's providence. Oh, I mean, listen, He is sovereign over life. And we need to understand that when we live life as if our life doesn't depend on Him, we're a practicing atheist. Now, that's strong language, but it's the truth. Number one, the sinful action. Number two, the searching question. We see this in verse 14. Now he's responding to verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Then he asked a searching question. He said, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. See, notice the question that is asked to bring us down to size. He's saying some of you all are acting this way. You're acting as if life is in your hands. You're making your plans without God. You're living as if you are sovereign over your life and that you're stepping because you have a desire to do it. You're living and alive because you are just living and alive and that's just the way you want it. You're disregarding God. You're disregarding His providence. You're disregarding His sovereignty in your life. And then he says, let me ask you a question. What is your life? What a searching question. What a searching question. And then instead of giving the answer, instead of us giving the answer, he gives the answer. And notice how he mentions, what is your what? Your life. There's two things he answers this with. He's telling us, first of all, that our life is single. You have one shot. Not what is your lives, but what is your life? Let me say something to you. If you miss it, you've missed it. There are so many people wasting their life. So many people wasting their life. Living as if God doesn't exist. But yet you can ask them to their face, do you believe God? I mean, do you believe that there is a God? Oh, yes, I believe there's a God. But they're living as if he doesn't exist. That's practicing atheism. That's a practical atheist. And if you do that, God has a question to ask you. What is your life? What is your life? See, he's saying our life is single. We have one shot. Then he goes on to say it's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. In this, we see our life is not only single, but number two, it's short. And what he's trying to tell us here is that we should not act as if life is never going to end because life is short. It is short. I'm 31 years old. Sometimes I feel 310 years old. But the fact of the matter is, I can look back as a teenager and where in the world has the time gone? Anybody know what I'm talking about today? You know what that teaches us? Life is short. Life is short. Life is single. Life is short. And we need to understand that we need to give God everything. You know what life really is about? Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that, do you realize that without the Lord, we have no life? So the secret to it is realize that your life is a gift of God, so you just wrap your life up and give it right back to Him, see? That's the Christian life. And what I'm saying to you this morning is that God not only shows us the sinful action of leaving Him out, but he asks a searching question. In Job 7, 7, 7 through 9, the Bible says this. It says, oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. And then in chapter 8, verse 9, for we are but as yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. The Bible goes on to say in 1 Chronicles 29, 15, our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Psalm 39, 5, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Psalm 78, 39, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Psalm 102, verse 11, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. This searching question should cause us to see the importance of the Lord and not boast about tomorrow. Matthew 6, 34, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In one of his sermons, George Truett, he was a longtime pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, gave his testimony of his first efforts to win a friend to Christ. They were in a revival meeting, and a preacher was coming over to the school every day and speaking. Well, Pastor Truett, when he was a young man, had a friend named Jim. And he was trying to witness to Jim, and they went to the services one night, and George Truett, just a young Christian, he didn't know how to witness or anything, he thought, but he had a burden for his friend, so he said to his friend Jim, he said this, he said, Jim, let's go tonight. He said, I'll walk down the aisle with you, because he knew this boy was lost. He said, Jim, give your life to Christ tonight. And Jim said this, I can't do it tonight, George. Let me off tonight. If I still feel this way, I'll do it tomorrow night. But let me off tonight, George. George said he went to the school the next day and Jim wasn't there. He went the following day and Jim wasn't there. So he decided to go see him at his home, and Jim's mother came to the door and said, "Haven't you heard?" To make a long story short, Jim had come down with a very serious, serious sickness with fever and pneumonia. And George Truett talked to the mother, and the mother let him stay, and he went in to talk to Jim. And late that night, in kind of like a delirium, he was just being delirious. He was out of his mind. Jim began to speak out of his mind, not really knowing what he was saying. And here's what Jim was saying when he was delirious. "Not tonight, George. Let me off. If I feel this way tomorrow night, I'll do it tomorrow night, but let me off tonight, George. Let me off tonight, George. Let me off tonight, George." And he went into eternity saying those words. Now, before we get upset and start saying things about Jim, "He's crazy, he's crazy," we've all been guilty of the same type of thing this week. You ever done your own thing, gone your own way with no thought of God? Not realizing that God's in control of your life? Not realizing that this could be the last step you take? Let me tell you something. There's a lot of marriage problems. I'm not talking about in our church, God willing. But there's a lot of marriage problems. You want me to tell you the problem? Practical atheism. Because when people live and put God in the place where He is to be put, it takes care of everything else in life. It really does. It really does. And all I'm saying to you, God asks a searching question. What is your life? You people who are going around saying, "We will go to that city. We will continue there a year. We will buy. We will sell. We will get gain." I've got a question, God says. What's your life? What a searching question. It's a single life. It's a short life. George Whitfield said he could not lie down in bed of a night if he didn't know that even his gloves were in their place. For he said he should not like to die with anything in his house out of order. That's how we ought to live our life. By the way, let me ask you a question. If you really and I really believe that right today could be our last day on earth, don't you think that would have an effect on our life? Now think. If you really believe that your life is in God's hands, and you really believe that today could be your last day, and you really believe that this could be your last service in Buffalo Ridge, that you may not even be here, if you really believe that, it'd change our life. Now, am I right or wrong today? Somebody help me out. I'm telling you, that's practical atheism. When you think, "I will be back tonight, I will be here Wednesday night, I will work this week, I will do this, we will go on vacation, we will have this, we will." That's practical atheism. That's practical atheism. And that is being committed all over our nation and around the world. The bottom line is this searching question shows us that life is too fragile to make our own plans. Life is too fragile to make our own plans. Number one, the sinful action. Number two, the searching question. Number three, the scriptural submission. We see this in verse 15 back in our text in James chapter 4. The Bible says, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Now, what's that mean? That means that we should submit ourselves to the sovereignty of Almighty God, realizing that we are wholly dependent on Him for life, dependent on Him for success. He alone can help us. He alone can make our plans prosperous. And in 1,000 ways, He can thwart our best laid schemes, for all things are under His control. We need not to travel far in life to see how completely all that we have is in the hands of God, or to learn how easily He can frustrate us if He pleases. There's nothing on which the success of our plans depend over which we have absolute control. There's nothing in this life that you have absolute control over. Nothing. Nothing. You can't control your life. It's in God's hands. You say, I want to be successful. Great, but that's in God's hands. You and I control nothing. Now, we don't like to hear that. And we don't, listen, this is so much against the humanistic mindset today. Believe in yourself and you can do anything you want to do. Believe in yourself. You can be anything you want to be. No, you can't, sir. Because our life is in God Almighty's hands. He is sovereign over life. He is in control over life. We don't control anything, and we ought to submit to Him and say, God, I know my life is in your hands. Help me live for you. That's scriptural submission. If the Lord will. These words means that we come to the point in our life where we realize that both our life and our actions depend on the will of God. The will of God. I'm talking about our life and our actions are not in our power. They're not. They're in the power of Almighty God. See, there's so many people that make their sure plans and their sure resolutions without considering the frailty of their own lives or the dependence of their actions upon God's will. See, if the Lord will please to lengthen our lives, then our lives will be lengthened. If the Lord's will is for us to live a long life, then we'll live a long life. If the Lord will help me be the soul winner, then I can be the soul winner God wants me to be. If the Lord will help me, then we can do that. If the Lord will help me, then we can have a good marriage. If the Lord will help me, then we can do this. If the Lord will... See, that's constantly submitting to Him and saying, I recognize my life's not in my hands. My life's in the hands of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you living in your life in a way that you're showing God, I believe you exist. I believe you exist. I believe you exist. And I realize my life's in your hands. Job 12:10 said, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing? He's talking about the Lord. In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Isaiah 42:5. Thus saith the Lord God, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. Daniel chapter 5 verse 23, and the God in whose hand thy breath is. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts in Acts chapter 17, you don't have to turn to it, but in Acts 17, 22. The Bible says this, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. As I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. God hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. Because our life is in the hands of God, we should willingly submit our plans and submit our life and submit our marriage and submit our children and submit everything about us into his hands, because it's in his hands anyway. Acts 18:21, I will return again unto you, if God will. 1 Corinthians 16:7, I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:3, and this we will do, if God permit. And we're to submit ourselves to our God and His will, recognizing our lives and plans are in His hands, not our own. Let me ask you a question. Do you think a majority of people are living as if life is in God's hands or life is in their own hands. Now, you don't have to look far, do you? Some of us can look in your own home and figure out the answer to that. Look around in our schools. Look around in our churches. Look around in our country. And the whole thing is me, 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 me. The Christian life is not of me, all of him. Not of me, all of him. Not of me, all of him. That's scriptural submission. That's submitting scripturally. Realizing that our life is in the hands of God. Number one, we've seen the sinful action, the searching question, the scriptural submission, and finally we see the simple conclusion in verses 16 and 17. Look at it. The Bible says this, "But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin." Now there's a twofold conclusion there. And that twofold conclusion is this. First of all of our boastings about life are evil. He's saying if you boast after I've told you this, after I have just told you that life is in God's hands, if you boast in yourself now, that is evil and that is wicked. Secondly, he gives a second conclusion in verse 17, and that is, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now here's what he's saying. He's saying, you sinned in verse 13. You are guilty of practical atheism. I have refuted you with a searching question because your life is in my hands. It's one life. It's very short. Don't make your plans without me. Because of that, I have instructed you that you need to submit to me. That I, as God, are over you, and that if I will, I will help you do those things. Are you with me so far? Now, if you're not, I'm going to start all over again. You're with me, right? Here we go. Now, because of that, here's the conclusion that God says. If you go back to living like verse 13, that is evil. And secondly, now that you know what to do, if you don't do it, you are sinning before me. Powerful portion of Scripture. Powerful. And all I'm saying to you is that God is saying this. If you do not acknowledge His providence over your life, if you keep going your way, doing your thing, saying your thing, I mean, doing whatever you want to do, living your life the way you want to live it, and just living as if God does not exist, God says that is evil and that is sin. And it's time that we come clean before God. Now, not one person, I hope, in this room is an intellectual atheist. I'm talking about you don't even believe in God. I hope nobody in this room is an intellectual atheist. But may I say to you that everyone here, more than likely, believes that there is a God. You believe there is a God. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Amen. But is it not safe to say that in a crowd this size, there's some practical atheist? Is it not safe to say that there are some who are living their life as an atheist? I believe there's a God. But I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. And listen, I've got all the time in the world. I don't have to say yes right now because, listen, I'm just going to live it up. I'm going to do my own thing because, I'm not. Practical atheism. Practicing atheist. Let me ask you a question. Which one's worse? That's a trick question. They're both pretty bad, aren't they? They're both pretty bad. If somebody doesn't believe in God, they're going to hell. So that's awful. But somebody who knows there's a God but lives as if he doesn't exist, I don't want to be in that person's shoes. But too many times I have been because I've been that person. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get you to see yourself. Forget the neighbor. Forget the person sitting beside you. Are you proving with your life that God exists? Don't be like the person in Luke chapter 12 In verse number 16, where the Bible says this, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said," here we go. "And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool." Same thing he said to the intellectual atheist. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You know what's powerful? The Word of God. How dare a preacher get up and preach his own ideas and his own thoughts? I'm talking to myself. When we have the wonderful Word of God, God says, "Don't you be like this rich man." This rich man said, "I will do this. I will do this. I will lay up store. I will be here for many years." And God says, "You're a fool. You're a fool. Tonight, your life ends." God help every one of us not to only believe there's God, but to prove it by the life we live. That's the answer to your marriage. That's the answer to this church. That's the answer to your life. That's the answer to your job. That's the answer. Listen, when you realize that your life is under God and He's in control and He is sovereign, and so listen, that right there is where the peace of God comes. It's all God. Every bit of it. "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For this ye ought to say, If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." God help some practical atheist to turn around this morning. Amen. Let's all bow our heads together and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, we love you. I thank you for this time. I thank you for the power of the Word of God. And I pray, our Heavenly Father, that you'll help me to lead this invitation in a way that pleases you and glorifies you and uplifts you. Help us all, Lord Jesus, to be what you'd have us to be. Guide, lead, and direct in a mighty way. Defeat Satan, I beg of you. Have your will and way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get ready, they're going to begin to play through softly. May I say something to you? I was preaching to Christians today, but I never want to be guilty of missing the main point. May I say to you that God does exist. Jesus Christ is real. And He bled and died for our sins. Is it possible that there may be somebody under the sound of my voice today that does not know for sure that if you died that you'd go to heaven? Matter of fact, let me ask it this way. By the way, you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God. It's impossible. He already knows. And by the way, I'm not the one that's going to judge you someday. He is. So please don't condemn yourself. But having me as I'm looking, you say, "Jody, I'm glad if I die today. I'm glad. I know I'm in God's family. I'm not hoping. I'm not thinking. I know I am. No doubt about it. I know I am." If and only if you can say with 100% surety that you know you're in God's family, with God watching you, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Is it possible that somebody couldn't raise your hand to that? If you could not raise your hand to that, I want to say thank you for being honest. You know, that's where it all starts anyway. Have you say, Jody, I was honest and I could not raise my hand. And please understand something. If you respond to this, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But I would like to know if there's anybody like that that's dealing with that so we know how to proceed with the invitation. If somebody today say, Jody, would you pray for me? I could not raise my hand. But there's something in me that I would like to be able to raise my hand to that question. I do not know that I'm in the family of God, but I want to know that. I really do. If that's you, quickly and quietly, there at your seat, would you raise your hand? Anybody at all like that? Anybody at all like that? Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Somebody else, you say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to know that I'm in the family of God. I do not know that, but I'd like to know that. Along with these two, somebody else, would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Thank you. You can put your hands right back down. Somebody else, not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out. Somebody else, put it up, put it right back down. Put it up, put it right back down. Now, if you raised your hand to that, you know who you are. I want you to sit back and I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? If you raise your hand, I want you to look right up here at me. Now, you know who you are. And I'm looking at you because I want you to see that I see you, okay? I realize some of us may just be struggling, whatever the case may be. Now, I want to ask you to do something for me. Are you sitting, I'm speaking to you first, okay? Are you sitting beside somebody that you know? Are you? Then what I want you to do right now, I'd like you to poke them. And you don't have to do this, but if you'd like to poke them, I'm going to try to get them to help you in just a moment so you're not coming down by yourself, but you have somebody coming with you. Okay? So right now, if you're sitting beside somebody that you know and you want to do this, I want you to poke them. And if you get poked, I want you to look right up here at me, please. Same way with you. If you're sitting beside, now you may not be, but if you're sitting beside somebody that you know, I want you to poke them right now, okay? And let them look up here with me. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond. Now, here's what that means. We do not want you to take our word for it. We want you to see from God's word what He says. You understand what I'm saying to you? We have some ladies, both of you are ladies, we have some ladies who are trained to take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. And in just a moment, when we stand, I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to come down here to the front. I want you to come, and we're going to take a lady, and they're going to take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. Okay? You understand what I just said to you? That's what we want to do. Now, you can bow your head one more time. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. But I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm not an intellectual atheist, but I realize that I've been going through life as a practical atheist, living as if life is in my hands, and not in the hands of God. If that's you, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air? Would you be an honest person? Yes, 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 yes. Good. You say, I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of it. Yes. Thank you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our Father, would you help these folks to respond? They know what to do. Help them to do it now. God, please. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around but myself. As they play through, Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If you're not sure that heaven is your home, you two dear ladies, you know who I'm talking about. Right now is your time. If you raised your hand saying, I'm practical atheist, I am practicing this, I want you now to leave your place and come to this altar. You say, Jody, why should I do that? Well, number one, it helps others to come. If you're at your seat right now and you say, Jody, I need to be sure that I'm saved, I'm begging you, I'm asking you, would you come? As Brother Gary sings, would you come? And others who are guilty of practical atheism, would you leave your place and come? I'm coming down front. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. God help you to make your way now. Please, come on now, please.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
I'm asking you to make a move.
The potter,
may the Lord help you to do this.
I am the clay.
God help you to do it.
Mold me and make me after thy will.
No doubt about it. May the Lord help you to do
while
it.
While I am waiting,
may the Lord help you to do it. He's going to sing that second verse.
Still,
God help us with it.
Have thine own way,
may the Lord, help us.
Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now.
There's still time for you.
As in thy presence.
There's still time for you.
Humbly I bow.
They're playing through softly. I'd like the one who still has not responded to salvation. There's nobody looking. And ma'am, just like you looked at me a minute ago, I'd like you to lift your eyes and look at me again. Would you do that? Would you do that? I'm trying to make it as simple as I can on you. If you're not sure that heaven's your home, I want you to look right up here at me. Would you do that? Yes. Good. I want you to know something. God loves you. We are not about trying to twist people's arms. We're not about trying to put pressure on you. I'm just simply trying to tell you that we see who you are. We recognize that you know that, hey, you might just be dealing with it. You might just be struggling. And I know that if you'd like to step out, that we have a lady that's ready to take a Bible, share with you how you can know the Lord. I'm going to ask you right now, will you say yes to Jesus? Will you say yes to the Lord? God help you to do it. May the Lord help you to do it. The Lord's dealing, no doubt about it. I appreciate His goodness to us. Let's sing that last verse, Brother Gary, if we don't mind. Let's sing it together, please.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Thank you. You may be seated just for a moment. We're getting ready to dismiss. Call some names to some folks here who trusted the Lord. Claudia Calderon. Did I say that right? Would you stand if you don't mind? And just remain standing just a moment. Haley Webster. Just stand up there right with her. Brother Andy, if you'd like to stand with him, that'd be great. Zachary Webster. And Tyler Glover, right? Is it Glover or Glover? Glover. All four of these children have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Brother and sister, outstanding. I want you to know something. This is the greatest decision you'll ever make. You're now a new baby in Jesus Christ. You're in the family of God. You're going to walk on a street of transparent gold one of these days. Isn't that great? We're glad you're here. How many are happy for him? Say a big amen.
Amen.
That's what it's about, isn't it? Thank you very much. You may be seated. Let me make one final statement. I'm gonna ask. The rapture hasn't happened, has it? Where's Brother Gary at? Well, anyway, just a moment. I'm gonna ask Brother David Hayes to dismiss us in prayer. But I just want to make one final plea to the one. She knows who she is. I'm not going to draw attention to her because I'm going to keep my word. But I tell you what I'm going to do. Instead of being in the back, shaking hands this morning, I'd like for one of the men who are listening to me out there to shake hands at preacher's door. I want to stay right up here. If the dear lady would like to talk about her salvation, I'd like you to come. I'd like my wife to stand if she wouldn't mind doing this. I want to put my wife in the back
I'm talking about back in the lobby. And the dear lady who's listening to me right now, this is my wife. She looks like a zebra today. And I mean that with the utmost respect. The utmost respect. I noticed she sat down immediately when I said that. I didn't mean to embarrass you, sweetie. I apologize. Good. I'm in the doghouse. But she's going to be back in the lobby. So if you would feel more comfortable going that direction and find my wife, find her. Have you all to be glad if this lady would do that? Would you say a big amen? Amen. Amen. She knows who she is. God help her to do it. Let's all stand together, please. And let's be dismissed in prayer. Be back tonight. Preacher, be back in the service tonight. And we'll thank the Lord for that. But Brother David, if you don't mind to lift your voice, please.